Hello everyone, welcome to Combox, where the game lives on. I'm your host Varun Alvakan and I'm joined by Jared Kimber, and welcome to today's Footmarks episode on the confusing utility of Washington Sundar. So Jared, do you remember recently you and I got into a debate about his utility as a test player on one of our lives? Which I was not surprised by, because I know you're a big Washington fan. The thing that surprised the heck out of me was Robbie was on my side, and I didn't know how to morally react to that, because Robbie and I are usually on the deferring sides, especially
with
T20
cricket. Feel uncomfortable. You should both feel very uncomfortable about this this new thing that's happened to you both.
So in case people missed it, so the debate was basically, I don't think Washington Sundar is a frontline bowler in Test cricket. Jared believes it is. And I still stand by it to a certain extent, because I think the more I look at his career in general, I think his future is as a batting all-rounder in Test cricket and is a bowling all-rounder for India in wide ball cricket, because that's basically what he's done for them, right? And in wide ball cricket, if you look at it for India, he's taking a wicket a game at a good economy rate and he can't bat in both formats. Whereas in Test cricket, he's not always a great bowler, but his batting has always been reliable. He's one of those, and I think people always overrate his batting in Test cricket. But I've seen people be like, okay, he should be a number three, like Steve Smith is. I'm like, okay, that's not how it works. Okay. He's not going to be a top four batter. And here's the other thing. If he's in your four best batters, you need to stop playing Test cricket and start again, because he cannot be in your four best batters.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he's definitely not that kind of player. Look, I mean, the truth is, I don't think we know if he's going to be a batting all-rounder or a bowling all-rounder. Like just from the perspective of, you know, the next, how old is he now? 24, 25? Has he got 26?
He's 26, yet? Right?
Yeah. We'll probably find out in the next 2.5 years what his main skill is going to be and how he is of most use to the team. But yeah, he's probably never going to be in your top three bowling options. And he's probably never going to be in your top six batting options, but he might be the world's best number seven. He might be an above average number six. And as a fourth bowling option, I think he's probably at least par and might be better than that. And as a fifth bowling option, he'd probably be the world's best fifth bowling option.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I disagree with him being a good fourth bowler is, if you look at him bowl, it's the same issue. It's the same feeling you get with Stokes at times, where it's like he's trying a lot of things, but I don't think he has a method that frontline bowlers usually do.
Yeah, the big difference I would say is that with Stokes, Stokes has made that into kind of like his shtick, right? So if you think about it from this point of view, if you look at Stokes' raw numbers, I think you make a pretty solid argument that he's not a frontline bowler, right? But if you look at his record between the 20-over mark and the 80-over mark, Stokes is probably one of the most elite bowlers in the world, right? And if you came into a bowl, let's imagine Stokes bowled frontline bowling numbers, right? And you knew that you had that, you can top load with new ball bowlers and pair him with a good spinner, and that's not a bad four-man attack, right? You might still want a fifth bowler to back that up. But it's not a bad four-man bowling attack. And I think if you look at Washi, it's a similar kind of thing of, he really shouldn't get hit all that much. He's, you know, in Test cricket, obviously in T20 cricket, that's a little bit different. But he shouldn't get hit all that much. And because of the drift, he should be constantly some kind of a threat. And I think when I'm looking at someone who is a frontline bowler, and that's probably the difference between you and I, is I'm looking at, is their stock ball a bit of a threat, right? And I think if you look at Washi's delivery and the fact that it can drift, it means that any time he can just bowl a normal off spinner and you're nicking it to slip or it's spinning back through the gate because of this of this specialist skill. On top of that, he's tall, so he gets the bounce, so you can't get on top of him. So he has a little bit of a stock bowler vibe, but he also has a little bit of an attack bowling vibe. So if you were to compare him to Jack Leach, right? Maybe not Jack Leach now, but Jack Leach 3 or 4 years ago, who would you pick to bowl in a test match for you? And I think you'd pick Washi over Jack Leach, right? And Jack Leach is not a bad test bowler by any stretch of the imagination, right? But one of the problems that Jack Leach had was his stock ball, if the pitch wasn't really spinning, didn't do anything.
That's fair, but the question I offer is that his stock ball or is that one of his threat balls, if it makes sense. It's one of because I think that's why I really like Washi as the fifth ball, especially in center, ahead of someone like Jadeja, because I think sometimes with Jadeja is he's good at containing, but he doesn't take wickets outside of Asia because he just does this thing again and again. Whereas with Washi, I'm like, I actually quite liked what I saw in England, where he's like, he'll just come in bowl four overs. He's like, cool, I'm just going to drift 1 4-degrees and get Stokes LBW, for example. I'm like, please, yes, please, more of that. But whereas I think sometimes with Asia, the issue I have with him is You need to bowl consistently. You need to spin it consistently. I don't think he can do the latter that well, because we saw that in the South African series, right, where Harmer was getting it to spin like far over 5 degrees, a third of the time. Whereas Washi and Jadeja has more, as well, it was about 10%, 10-15%. I think with Jadeja, I'm like, I can understand he's old, but with Washi, I'm like, I don't know what your future is in Asia if you're not spinning it on pitches that are spinning.
I wouldn't worry about that too much. And I'll tell you why. I don't think he puts a lot of side spin on the ball, right? Which is weird because he gets a lot of drift. So I'm not as worried about that because Anil Kumble didn't spin the ball a lot in Asia, right? In Asia, I think the extra height is quite unique. The drift, not all Asian spinners drift the ball as much, especially in modern cricket. You know, it's actually very rare for that. Asian spinners to drift the ball anymore, the way that they used to back in the older days. And so he has unique skills to be able to do that. And also the other thing that I would never be worried about is specifically with an Indian team. If he's an automatic member of your side, right? Because he's averaging 35 to 40 with the bat and he produces, you know, all this all round versatility with the ball. He can be your third spinner in Asia. Right? So there's no issue there. And when he goes away from Asia, his bounce and his drift suddenly become more important. So for me, it doesn't really matter if he's the first spinner in Asia because, you know, if you are there, it looks like India, at least when Gambhir's around, but it looks like India for a fair while are just going to play five bowlers, right? Like minimum, if that's the case. So if you're going to play five bowlers and let's say you have Bumrah plus Siraj or Bumrah plus Prashid, whoever the other seam bowler is, right? You can then have a Kuldeep and whoever else is a specialist spinner, who's the best specialist spinner in the country, come into the side without worrying all that much. So for me, that's not a negative. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a cricketer that would work like this. I suppose it's a little bit like I'm trying to think if there's a fast bowler it's probably like having a seam bowler who can bat, who is really good at bowling in Asian conditions, right? Mm. And outside of Asian conditions, maybe they slip back to your fifth bowler. But with his unique skill sets, I don't think that's the end of the world. And if he's the third best spinner in your side, I'm pretty excited. Like, I think you and I did this. There aren't really that many spinners in the entire world that we would take above Washi, right? Like, he's still in the top 15 to 20 test match spinners. So if he's your second or third best spinner, you're still really good. Like, you're comparing him to Simon Harmer, who has been a ridiculous bowler in the last couple of years, right? He's not Simon Harmer. But also, Simon Harmer can't bat like Washington Sundar, right?
I think the main issue is I think India in general seems to be confused about how to use it. And I think Robbie made that same point, right? Because I was just looking at his utility. Do you remember when we did the all-rounder piece? We were looking at runs per match and balls per match. So he's bowling just over 20 overs per match, and he's making about 52 runs per match. It's like, that's just below frontline batter or frontline bowler. I think the thing is, right, if you and I were doing this team, we'd probably bat him at 6 or number 7 and tell him, okay, if you're batting at 6 or 7, bowl 20 overs a game, that's fine. But there's been times where they played him at 8 and they're bowling him 20 overs a game. I'm like, what the hell are you doing then, right?
So, but again, I think what you're doing there is you're confusing how badly they've used him with what he does. You and I would say that about how many players in the world, right? Why are they playing them in this position? Why aren't they freeing them up? And then I would say the other thing, and this is not India's fault, although it's partly Gambhir's fault, is they actually have so many options available to them for all-rounders that Gambhir has gone all in with the idea that if we have three all-rounders, we have two specialist bowlers wrapped into one. And this is the old South Africa batting thing of, oh, we've got like a bunch of guys who can bat at number 7 or 8, so we actually have this great batting lineup. And it's like, no, you don't have enough specialist batting. Your specialist batting isn't strong enough. And so I think you can make a fairly good argument there that when Jadeja goes, Washi just takes over that role and it makes a lot more sense, right? As you said, he bats at 6 or 7. He bowls as the fifth bowler when the conditions are not completely in his favor, and he bowls as the third or the fourth bowler when the conditions are in his favor, whatever that may be for his particular kind of bowling. And he gives you incredible flexibility at that stage, right? When you're trying to fit him in around Nitesh Kumar Reddy and Jadeja, there's no way you can't fuck up those guys, right? Like, there's no way that you can actually get enough bowling or batting into him. And I think that, I think what you're reacting to is more how they are using him rather mm-hmm. than what he can do, which are two very different things at the moment.
I get what you mean, and fair enough about that. But one of the reasons I think they're also confused is if you look at his record for Tamil Nadu, it's a very similar pattern where he's not making as many runs as a frontline batter does, nor is he bowling as much. It's one thing if India were the only team that misused him, I'd understand it. Like if Tamil Nadu didn't understand what he was doing out there, I'm like, is that a team issue or is it a Washi issue? Is everyone just lost about what he's doing? And it can't just be because it seems to happen in every different format where it's like, what is his strength?
Yeah, I would say this is actually one of the things I'd be more interested in is the issue with him at the moment is that no team who's ever had him has actually understood him. And I don't want to sound too much like, you know, a 1980s fangirl here, but like I kind of feel like I understand him a little bit better than a lot of the teams that have had him before. And I also think with a player like this, the problem with being an all-rounder is that you never really, it's what's happening to Washi is kind of the Moeen Ali thing, right?
Mm.
Where because you're an all-rounder, you end up filling all these different gaps and moving, and you're the one to provide flexibility. And that's absolutely fine. If you are a player like Chris Cairns, right? Or Shakib Al Hasan, who kind of knows exactly what they do. And then if they have to bat at five, they can bat at five. If they have to bowl into the wind in this game, they have to bowl into the wind. If they have to bowl containing, they're actually okay with that because their games are pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll bowl first change with the ball, and I'll bowl some lockup spells later on. When I come in with a bat, my job is to attack. That's Chris Cairns, right? It doesn't really matter where you put him in the order. He's going to do basically those things, right? Mm-hmm. And with Shakib, again, it's very, very obvious what he does. It's not as obvious with Sam Curran. It's not as obvious with Washington Sundar, right? And so once you get into that kind of thing, it's up to you as a coaching staff to do that. But the problem is he gives you so much flexibility that you want to use the flexibility all the time. And probably what he needed was, you know, the one run of time in one or two, you know, being used in one or two positions with the bat or the ball so that he becomes really good at that. And let's go back to Ben Stokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stokes knows exactly what he's best at with the ball, right? And it's not a recent thing. I'd say he's known it for a decade. And England use him perfectly in that situation. There's a partnership. We need you to come in and try a bunch of shit, right? It's a flat pitch. We need you to come in and we need you to try a bunch of different things, right? You've got carte blanche to bowl a 6-8 over spell here where you bowl outswing one ball, inswing one ball, bouncer one ball, Yorker the next ball up. It's fine. That's your job, right? That is your job. And Ben Stokes becomes, other than Neil Wagner and Bumrah now, one of the best old ball bowlers in the world, right? Mm-hmm. That's literally, he becomes it because he does it over and over and over again. As you said with Washi, it's like, well, if you bring him in for four overs and hope he bowls a magic ball, Washi's not really that kind of bowler anyway, right? So what is he? I think he is someone who should be bowling 8 to 12 over spells of probing away, as I said, because of the bounce, because of the drift, because of the accuracy, he has an ability to be able to hopefully hold an end up without getting hammered. And his best ball has the potential of taking a wicket at any stage. He should be able to keep some sort of threat on. But you make a very good point that if no one's ever going to use him that way, how does he become good at that thing? And so I come from the argument from that side of that's not a Washington issue. That is mm-hmm. an Indian, Tamil Nadu, and don't get me started on some of the franchises. Like the franchise I told to buy Washington, and then they still didn't use him.
But here's the thing, Jared, is if everyone is using him badly, I'm like, okay, it might just be a him thing to a certain degree. I understand what you mean. The teams are not always smart, especially when it comes to all-rounders.
But doesn't everyone use Sam Curran badly?
Yeah, he's the other issue of, is that a him issue or is that a team issue?
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally. But if you, the thing is, so do you remember when Sam Curran was with Punjab and they kept putting him up to bat at number four or number five?
Yes.
Right? And if you remember, I would say the same thing over and over again. I was like, what's the point of you having a bad number four or number five, right? Like a slightly below average number four or number five, if you're not absolutely certain he's going to bowl four overs a game as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if he's going to bowl four overs a game and you're like, we're willing to give back a little bit on our number four, number five position so that we have extra bowling, we have extra flexibility. And Sam Curran knows that's his role, right? And if you look at Gujarat this year, this is the most, and I haven't even agreed with it all the time, but I actually think they've done this partly because this is the way that Shubman Gill's brain works, but also I think they've had a lot of good conversations about Washi, which is we're going to bat him at number four or five in every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's come in a power play. Sometimes he's come in the 15th over. And many times I have, as a T20 guy, like, this is not for him. This is not when I would bring him in, right? But they've done it. And he's been the most consistent we have ever seen him, right, in any format of cricket ever. So if that is the case, what are you getting out of a player like him at that stage? You are getting 1.5 to 2 overs of bonus bowling. And I would say, you'd have to show me the numbers, but I would say at least a par, maybe even slightly above average, number five this year for what I've for what he's done.
So his true average is 17, a true strike rate 0 this season.
Yeah. Yeah, which probably makes sense the way he's played this year. I'm happy with that if I get a couple of overs of bowling out of him when I need it. Right? Yeah. Like that for me is a plus as a cricketer. And he's played the same role over and over again, right? Again, if you can pull that off, and he's pulling that off to a better level than sometimes Sam Curran has in some of these years, right? Then the bowling is a bonus. And it's you can do the opposite too with Sam Curran. That's what I always thought with Sam Curran, of just tell him he's a number six. Tell him to learn everything he needs to be a number six. And then, he can bowl. If he bowls me 2.5 to 3.5 overs a game, I'm absolutely fine. If I get a par number six out of him, right, that's the best way. But also it allows these guys to learn the role definition. Jadeja becomes a better player when he starts to get role definition in what he does in the game. If you don't get that, how do you actually get the reps up to learn how to be good at the thing that you need to be good at, right? And what you're telling me at the moment is what I've seen, which is one franchise uses him this way, Tamil Nadu uses him this way, India uses him this way, and then they switch again. They don't even stick with that one plan, right?
Yeah.
Like I can't remember, who did he play for after RCB? Was it?
Sunrisers.
Yeah. I thought when he went to Sunrisers, they would be like two overs with the new ball, right? Mm-hmm. And then if the pitch is spinning, we can use him again later. And bat him at first drop and essentially just let him tee off at the end of the power play. And if the power play's over, bring in your number four, right? Mm-hmm. And that's your job. And just, you know exactly what you need to do here. Hit boundaries. We don't need you to hit. We don't need you to score like a ton of runs. We just need you to fill this because that player has a lot of utility and available for us. And this is when we want you to bowl. No one's, it just didn't happen, right? And it hasn't happened over and over again. I mean, was it a year and a half? Was it last year or the year before? He wasn't even playing in the IPL.
Mm.
He couldn't get in the side, right? How do you develop him?
So I think with his batting, I don't know if you agree with it. One thing I've noticed in all formats is he's not got a cruising gear, if it makes sense. Right, even this season, it's like there have been times he's been 19 of 10 and finished like 30 of 23, or vice versa. He's been 10 of 10 and he's accelerated at the death. We've never seen both of those combined together in any single game. Whereas, so going back to Stokes, I think you said about Stokes knows what he's as a bowler. We've seen Stokes bat. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing with the bat half the time, right? I think that goes back to Washington's bowling to a certain extent. Whereas in Test cricket, I think Washington is exactly what kind of batter he is. How many times have you and I seen Washington be 10 of 50 and finish 35 of 100?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Every single time is the same method again and again. So I wonder if that is, do you think that's his future in all formats as well, where it's like he has a method and he needs to find it? Because I think one of the reasons he works better for India in general is because for whatever reason, India just don't really go in with new ball seamers. I don't know why that is in white ball cricket. Like, it's like, okay, we'll give Ashdeep 2 overs and it's like, we give either Hardik or Washington. That's similar because if you're Gujarat, you can't blame Gujarat for not giving him any overs in the power play. Why the hell would you take the new ball away from Siraj and Rabada, right?
No, exactly. So just on his batting, I think this is why when you say he's a batting all-rounder, it's not that I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I don't think he really understands batting in the way he does bowling. I actually think, especially in Test cricket, he kind of understands first-class bowling. Now, he may not be as accurate as he needs to be because, as you said, he takes about 2 wickets a game for Chennai. Tamil Nadu, sorry. But I think he understands, okay, if I put, this is where I need to put the ball to a right-hander. This is where I need to put the ball to a left-hander. These are the days I need to drift it. These are the days I need to bounce it. These are the days I need to spin it. I think he has all that. I think he looks a lot to, like me. Probably Jadeja or Stokes are very similar kind of guys, that they are very good at batting in one mode.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very good at then switching violently to another mode, but they don't have the ability to actually play in innings the way that a proper test batter will. And so I think that's Washi's going to have that. But the difference that he has compared to Jadeja and Stokes is, I think both of those guys are very, very good strike rotators. And I'm not sure that Washi is a very good strike rotator. Like, I don't know if you have any stats on it, but just to the eye test,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, he doesn't really know how to do that. And he's a little bit block or bash. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We saw that in the, I want to say, is it the South African or the New Zealand ODIs? There'll be times where they've sent him up the order and he's just so lost about what to do. He'll be like 10 of 20. And you could argue that in some of those innings, he sucked the momentum out of the game because he just got so stuck. I think for Gujarat, that hasn't happened, because with Gujarat, it's like, I don't know how to analyze Gujarat as a team without scratching my brain, because they don't make any conventional sense. So I think
Gujarat.
It's probably fair that Washington is at home in this team, right? Because he doesn't make any sense either.
Well, I mean, the thing is that actually, not that they would trade him, but he's actually, now that they've pumped up his value to what it probably should have been, you know, he's been paid some nice money over the years and not even got on the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now his value has been pumped up by batting so well, he makes more sense in another team. And as a trade chip, you might be able to get a player that fits your side back better. Right?
Yep.
I'm not sure there's that many out there. But as you said, there's no real point in bowling in the power play for this side. And that's generally when he's at his absolute best with the extra bounce. So I just, you know, it's something we talk about a lot with all-rounders and everything, is the, when it comes to it, I think there is a lot of, we need to understand that they don't know what they are as players. And if you're not lucky enough to be in a situation, like Shakib Al Hasan, I don't know much about his domestic cricket, but I certainly know at Bangladesh level, they didn't really have a choice, right? They basically said to him, you have to be our first spinner when you go away, and you're going to be quite a defensive spinner. At home, you could be our second spinner, and we need you to bat at number five or number six and just lock down that position for us, right?
Yeah.
Very simple. And he was like, what, 20, 21, 22 when he was learning this? And so he wasn't successful straight away, but he worked it out and he did it over and over again. And you compare that to, you know, like even now, there's two conversations about Ben Stokes' batting happening at the same time. Ben Stokes has to bat at number three and Ben Stokes has to bat at number seven, right? Even now, Ben Stokes is still being used as a firefighter, right? And we go back to what we said about Moeen Ali's career a moment ago, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Dan Vittori was told, you know, one day you might become an all-rounder, but we don't, you know, you just keep working on your game, whatever. By the end of his career, it's like, can we bat Dan at five? It's like, no. He's finally got really good at batting. Let's give him an easier position and allow him to bat at six or seven. So that's the problem with all-rounders. You're always pressing for this. But I just want to get back to this point, because I think this is a really important one when it comes to Indian cricket. And when you say things like, he's not a frontline bowler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are the world spinners at the moment, okay, that have taken more than, where should we start it? Oh, we'll say more than 30 wickets, because he's taken 30 test wickets in the last 3 years, right? So this is 30 wickets in the last 3 years. And I'm just going to say the name of the bowler, and you say if you think Washington is better or worse than this bowler.
Sure. Right?
Tajal Islam.
Worse.
Yeah, I agree. Nathan Lyon.
Worse.
Yeah. Jadeja.
Obviously worse.
Yeah. Right at the moment, do you still say that?
Yeah, because it goes back to the bowl. Even if Jadeja's not taking wickets, I still trust him to bowl 30.
No, that's fine. I just wondered, because I knew that you'd softened on his bowling recently.
No.
Jayasuriya?
I think I'd still trust Jayasuriya to bowl a lot more than Washi.
Mahedi Hasan Maraz?
I think he's worse than Mahedi.
Okay. Shoaib Bashir?
He might be better.
He's a better bowler than Shoaib Bashir. Yeah. So that's the first one that we would have in the list.
Okay.
Noman Ali? You'd go Noman Ali, right?
Noman.
Yep. Keshav Maharaj? You'd go Maharaj?
Okay, Maharaj again, yeah.
Yep. Sajid Khan?
I'd take Sajid.
Okay. Ajaz Patel?
In his defense, Ajaz has done well in India at times, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you might have to go Washi.
It, At the very least, it's probably close to par, isn't it, at this stage? Yeah.
Let's say evens. I don't know if you can, but...
We have. Par. Mm-hmm. Kuldeep?
Worse.
Yeah. Santner?
Current form worse.
But there's not much between them.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Jamal Warrican?
Probably better.
Glenn Phillips?
Better. Of course he's better than Glenn Phillips.
Simon Hartley? Simon Harmer?
Worse.
Right? Washi is the next wicket taker on that list. So he's about, as I said before, what, 13th, 14th, 15th best spinner in the world? Because after that list, you got Tom Hartley, Jack Leach, Andy McBrien, Muthusamy, Joe Root. I'm trying to see if there's even Kuhneman, right?
Nice.
So this is where the Indian cricket thing becomes a bit of a weird thing of like, yeah, but, you know, he's not a frontline bowler. It's like, he's probably the second spinner at, like, he would be the best spinner in England. Could you imagine how good, like how happy England would be if Washi was just the English spinner? And that's all you had to worry about was like, oh no, where do we bat him in this batting order? Oh, Smith, can you bat it? You know, Stokes bats at 3 in this situation. Smith bats at 6 or whichever wicketkeeper they're going to go with. And Washi bats at 7. Mm-hmm. How much better a side is that already? They don't have to worry about any of this nonsense of Will Jacks at 8 and taking Shoaib Bashir around the world as a, you know, and maybe Rehan Ahmed will be a bowler one day. Like, and I think that we need to remember that sort of stuff. Like, there are some players on here, like Jamal Warrican, he's been really good in Test cricket in the last little while, right? I think he's played really well. But you take Washi every single time because of the flexibility and everything else he says. And it's not that Washi is that much worse a bowler than someone like Warrican, right? And so I think you need to this was a thing that we had with Australia back in the day where everyone would sort of get in their own heads a little bit about people like we used to say things like Andy Bickle and Michael Kasprowitz and Paul Rifle. Nope, they're not that good. It's like every other team in the world putting their hands up, going, yep, we'll have those three.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, Bickle and Kasprowitz with the new ball, Paul Rifle coming on first change, and Bickle's a little bit of batting and Paul Rifle's a little bit more batting. We could set up a whole team around this, right? These guys are really talented. And I think sometimes Washi is being compared to the fact that he's coming on the back of Ashwin and Jadeja. Mm-hmm. But if he's the 15th best spinner in the world, and you have his batting capability. I just think that's such a big bonus as a cricketer. But as you said, you still have to work out how best to use him. And maybe there is no perfect case. What if he is just the bits and pieces guy and he can never bring it all together? Not all these all-rounders bring it together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons that maybe like me being annoyed with Test cricket in general is I'm just taking it out on Washi because I'm like, that's one of my least favorite things about modern Test cricket is the one good thing these idiots did in the 150 years is realize, okay, maybe we need to actually play 5 bowlers instead of 4 because we need to take 20 wickets. And they've immediately undone that by going, now we need some batting at 8, man. It's like, we need some depth. It's like, you idiots, if you're going to do that, just go back to just being playing 4 frontline bowlers and 6 batters. Why am I seeing this batting all-rounders that can't bat and bowling all-rounders that can't bowl in your team, right?
I think your bigger argument is it's not the all-rounder, it's the triple all-rounder, right?
Yeah, it's why am I seeing this? It's, if you want to play Washi at 7 instead of Jadeja, fine. I said this during the England series, Jared, and people were upset with me. It's like, I can see an argument that India can make where they're like, we would rather have Washi at 7 than Jadeja because Jadeja's not giving you wickets, whereas Washi can give you wickets. But it's this, they're so lost because I'm like, I don't like NKR in Test cricket at all. I'm more than happy saying that.
Well, that's the other thing. If you're going to do it, the way to do it is probably to have NKR at 5, Jadeja at 6, and Washi at 7, right? Which maybe you can't do, but, you know, because left-hand right
absolutely not.
Right. But you can't do that because you want Rishabh Pant at number 5. But if you did it that way, you're not actually losing anything on bowling, right? But what Gambhir has never factored in is that it's actually, if you look at the history of the game, once you get past 5 bowlers, it becomes a fucking nightmare for a captain. No, you know, bowlers like to find rhythm. They like to feel like they're wanted. You know, they don't want to be sitting out on the field. If you're a fast bowler, you can get stiff if you're rested for too long. If you're a spinner, like, you know, you need to warm up the fingers, the calluses, the wrist, whatever that may be. You know, some spinners don't even get, you're talking about washy bowling four over spells. It's like, most spinners are not comfortable bowling four overs. I'm a club spinner. If you bring me on for a four over spell, I'm like, it's going to take me 2.5 overs to actually bowl my first.
Was in his comeback test, like, broke his finger or something, right? Because he was just didn't bowl enough spin overs.
Yeah, his callus came open.
His callus came off, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, little things like that. And so if the history of cricket has told us anything, it's that five bowlers is a really, really good amount. And once you get to six, it just becomes hard mathematically. And I think that's something that it doesn't feel like they quite understood the assignment there. The only way you could do that, I'd say, like, the best fifth bowler you don't have to worry about is like someone like Callis, or he doesn't want to bowl anyway, really. And what Callis allows you to do is extend the new ball threat a little bit longer, right? Because Callis is going to bowl from the 12th over to the 22nd over, right? And then Donald or Pollock or Steyn, whoever that is, can come back on for their spell. And so that means the first 30 overs, you have genuine seam bowling threat. And then Callis is like, all right, I'm done, guys. And they're like, can we get one more spell after the 60th over when we're waiting for the ball to reverse? And he's like, okay, yep, I'll give you another five overs there, right? There aren't that many bowlers that work that way, right? Because that's not their main skill set. So Shardul could have been one of those kind of bowlers, but he's not a good enough batter to justify playing him in that role. And so generally, once you get over those five bowl, and that's a five bowling attack still. Once you get to six at seven, it gets really tricky. Yeah.
Especially with someone like Gill, who hates experimenting with stuff, right?
It's not made for him, is it?
He's not made for this. He'd not actually, like Owen Morgan.
Mentally for him, four bowlers would be the right amount, right? Because he would just rotate them when they're tired.
The other person who was like that was Virat when he was a captain, right? It's anytime you give Virat seven bowling options, he does not know what to do. Whereas with Dhoni, it was the opposite. If you only give four bowlers to Dhoni, he's so lost.
It's like, yeah, you want like a Mark Taylor or a, you know, Jeremy Coney or an Owen Morgan type brain, right? Like, in order to, or Dhoni, as you said, those sorts of brains want as many options as possible. Whereas actually, that's not, like, Ricky Ponting, too many bowling options is not exactly what Ricky Ponting wants, right? What Ricky Ponting really wants is the first four bowlers just to do the job and him to rotate them when they're tired.
Yep, absolutely. And with the other thing, going back to the all-rounders and the conflict thing, is Jadeja, I think, his main openly said that he wants to bat at six. So India can't even be like, let's play Washington at six and Jadeja at seven, because it's like, one of them will be upset, right? There's no right answer. The only answer is you have to drop one and simplify everything. Yeah. Or if you think they're good enough batting, you can convince me that you could have Jadeja at six, Washington at seven in New Zealand and play four frontline seamers. But then that goes back to the argument. They clearly don't trust their batting enough to go completely all in. Right?
Yeah.
That's my main issue with it.
And as you said, the batting's not that bad. Like, it's still better than other sides. And the way that you win test matches is by taking 20 wickets. And they have the attack to take 20 wickets, but then they make it more weird by making sure they bat to number eight. And then I think there's one number eight in the history of cricket who's averaged more than 35. You just don't get a lot of runs out of your number eight, even if you put someone good. Yeah, I think Vittori might be above 35, isn't he? And to be honest, he learnt that craft over 10 years as a young kid. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he really learnt how to play in that position and got really good at it. Moeen Ali batted at number eight and has admitted publicly so many times going, I had no idea what I was doing, right? So you got Washi who opens the batting for Tamil Nadu and bats number three sometimes. And you're like, how about being a number eight? And that's what we're talking about, role definition. And I think that's why he's a really interesting one, because, you know, when Australia had Mitch Marsh in the side, and that he hasn't really worked as an all-rounder because of his body, right? But when they had Mitch Marsh in the side, it was so simple. Mitch, you're going to bat at number six. You're going to come in, and on your day, you're going to smoke 100, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to get you to bowl the Jacques Callis two spells, right? Second one with the new ball, wobble it around a little bit, hit the pitch, see how you go. Next time you come in, bowl a little bit shorter, you know, and give us some into the pitch strong stuff. That's all we need. We don't need you to think about that. You know your role, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Cameron Green, perfect example of someone who does not know his role as a batter or as a bowler. And if you don't, it's hard for you to develop. And unfortunately, we're so desperate to get these all-rounders into the side, but we don't always know how to use them. And you know, I'd love to say that this is like, you know, we've seen this with Imran Khan, right? We've seen this with Gary Sobers. Not all all-rounders develop the way that we want them to just because we throw them into the side and then we move them around and we ask them to do all these different things.
Yeah, all I can ask is India shouldn't be shit because they're morons, right? If, like, for all we say about Pakistan, they're shit because they're shit. They're not shit because they're dumb. They're shit because they're shit. I'm fine with that. It's don't be shit because you're idiots, right? So to finish this part of Jared, I'm going to ask you, what do you, if you had to, if you're controlling Washington and you had all the say in the world, what would, where would you bat him in Tests, ODIs and T20Is if you had the choice?
I think in Tests, it has to be at 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any issue there. I think in ODIs, it's probably the same spot. I don't really see how he fits. He can't strike rotate, so I don't know how you can bat him up the order in one-day cricket. And in T20 cricket, I've always liked him as a potential power play hitter and a death hitter. So you bat him at number 3, and then if you don't have a chance to bring him in and play him like Ishan Kishan, what you then do is you just hold him back and you bat him at the death. He's played some really good knocks at the death in this tournament this year. I don't think we've seen as much of him in the power play. You need to remind me of that. But I just think you separate it and you make it quite simple for him. And you go, you know, if you go in the power play, we just want you to keep hitting. Fuck the singles. We're not interested. Just keep going, right? If you can get us a 60 off 25 or, you know, 60 off 35, we're taking that any time that we get it. And if not, we're going to hold you back for till probably the last 4 or 5 overs, right? And then just come out and swing freely. I think with Washy, is at his absolute best when you give him a clear role and then you just say, there's no pressure on you, right? Because this is what you could do. Putting him in positions where he has pressure when he doesn't really know his game, I think is the worst that you can do.
And that's all for today, folks. Thank you so much for listening up to this point. We'll see you again next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.